Okay, so it seems our other members are on vacation because I understand this is a long weekend. 2 weeks of long weekend, and also next week is also a long weekend. So I understand that some of the families are going for vacation. And also in line with the Project NOAH, if you will look at the back of your bulletin, the amount that we are is now realized. Actually, it's medyo may konti lang pong mali dyan. The 144,000, that is what we collected last Sunday. Okay. All in all, Project NOAH, we already have about 200 or 202,000 pesos. Can we give God a round of applause for just 2 weeks? And it's really, God is amazing. For about 2 weeks, we already raised 200,000 pesos. So, iko-correct po natin yan by next week. And also, I'm sure all of you received this, a commitment, church prayer and fasting. This is the second half. We did this last February. We had our prayer and fasting week. And this second half of the year, we will do it this August. Starting tomorrow, August 20 up to 24, that is our prayer and fasting week. And the culmination is on August 25, that's on Saturday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And I hope and pray that all of you will come on Saturday so that together we can pray together for our project, not only for our building project, we can pray for our country and even for our denomination, the Conservative Baptist Association of the Philippines, because they're also raising funds that's called Project Pag-asa. So we will pray, and even your personal concerns, we will have groupings so we can pray for one another. It's good that we can minister to one another. So church, can I count on you on Saturday? You'll be here? 2 o'clock to 4 p.m. That's prayer and praise. Now we will continue in our sermon series entitled Wisdom Literature, or the Poetic Books of the Old Testament, namely the Book of Psalms, Book of Proverbs, Book of Job, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Last month, we discussed about the Book of Psalms, so we had somehow a survey of some of the passages in the Book of Psalms. This month, we have a survey on the Book of Proverbs. And then the last Sunday, next week, we will be discussing the Book of Job. So it's a very interesting book. Sovereign in suffering. God is still sovereign even though we are suffering here on earth. So this is the last sermon in the Book of Proverbs. But before we go to our passage, let me just share to you a story. And I'm sure one way or the other, you have you also read this in your Facebook. Doon po sa mga may hilig mag-Facebook, social media, nabasa nyo na rin itong story na to. It's a story about a pastor who visited a couple in their house. So here's the story. A pastor had a dinner at home of a couple in his church. And then after he left that dinner, okay, the wife told her husband, "I think our pastor stole our spoon. Ninakaw daw yung spoon. Because nowhere to be found. The spoon in his table is nowhere to be found." And this bothered her for a while. So a year later, the couple had the pastor again for dinner. And then unable to resist, the wife asked the pastor, "Did you steal our spoon last year?" And then the pastor said, "No, actually, I put that spoon inside your Bible." So, isa lang po ibig sabihin nun, di ba? Never na binuksan yung Bible for about a year. 1 year. So, the question now is, do we really give importance to God's Word? Do we really read our Bible? I'm sure sa bahay po natin, hindi lang isa o dalawa ang Bible natin. Do we really read our Bible? Or does it only accumulate dust in our bookshelf? Well, let's be honest here. Even as believers, we find it very difficult for us to read the Bible. It is much easier for us to watch television, to watch Netflix, or to be with our friends, right? Rather than to read the Bible. Well, there's nothing wrong with those things. Watching television, Netflix, being with your friends, there's nothing wrong with it. But here's the question. If we can find time to watch TV, Netflix, if we can find time to be with our friends, why not give time to read the Word of God? You know why? If we neglect, if we continuously disregard the Word of God, we will have a disordered life. What do I mean by disordered life? A life that is not pleasing with God as a believer, as a Christian. But on the contrary, if we obey God's word, then we will have an orderly life, a life which gives glory to our God. So we must give importance to God's word. And how are we going to give importance to God's word? By reading and obeying it. Let's look at our scripture. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to God's word, and please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Okay, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Can we read this together? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Indeed, Lord, help us to really give value to your word, to really put importance to your word by reading, by studying, by meditating your word. Help us, Lord, as a church, that GCF New Valley, we will be known as people of your word, that we will really be in love with your word, because by doing so, if we are in love with your word, we will be in love with the God of the word. Because, Lord, there's only one way for us to know you more and more, and that is through the revealed will, the written word of God. So, Lord, help us to understand this morning the value of your word, that we really give importance to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. So again, this is the last sermon based on the book of Proverbs. So last month, again, we had a glimpse on the book of Psalms. This month, a glimpse on the book of Proverbs. So again, these five books, book of Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes, this is what we call wisdom literature or the poetic books. This is in the Old Testament. So before we leave the book of Proverbs, let me show you the chart again of this book, so you can have a glimpse somehow of what this book is all about. The first chapter, it's stated to you the purpose and theme of the book of Proverbs, which is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then the second chapter, it talks about father's exhortation to his children. And then the first collection of Solomon's Proverbs, second collection of Solomon's Proverbs, and there is our passage in the second collection of Solomon's Proverbs. And the last two chapters, that is Proverbs from Agur and Lemuel. And also we understand, we learn that Proverbs, these are principles in life. We can apply this in our life. These are principles and not promises. And theologically speaking, from one Bible commentary, it says, Proverbs starts from God's general revelation, available to people because they are made in God's image and live in God's world. Precisely because it, or Proverbs, knows that God is real, that people are made in God's image, and that they live in God's world, it also assumes, the book of Proverbs assumes, that morality and faith are part of life itself as people experience it. So therefore, in other words, the book of Proverbs, actually this is for believers, because it already assumes that you believe that there is a God who made everything. Now, talking about God's revelation, there are two kinds of revelation. One is what we call general revelation, and when we talk about general revelation, that pertains to the creation. When you look at creation, you will understand that it's an intelligent design. So therefore, there is one who really made all of these things, a good architect of all these things, an intelligent architect, because of the intelligent design. So therefore, there is a God who made everything, because it is an intelligent design. That is what we call general revelation. And then the other one is what we call special revelation. And when we say special revelation, it pertains to the written word of God. Or in other words, the Bible, or what we call the scripture. So every time you read in some theological books, when the author says special revelation, it pertains to the Bible, to the written word of God. The word of God, that is the revealed will of God. If we are asking God, Lord, reveal your will to me, read the Bible, and you will see the revealed will of God, the written word of God. So the Bible, this is what we call the special revelation of God, because God actually is introducing himself through his word. If we want to get to know who God is, read his word. Read his word. If we are intimate with the word of God, therefore we will be also intimate with the God of the word. So are we clear on that? General revelation, creation. Special revelation, the Bible. Okay? That is the word of God. Therefore, if this is the special revelation of God, we must give importance to it. We must give importance to the word of God. How? Again, by obeying, by reading and obeying. Because if we will not read the word of God, if we disregard this, we will live a disordered life. But on the other hand, if we will obey God's word, we will live an orderly life. Look at the first sentence there. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, the common translation that people use every time that they quote Proverbs 29:18 is the King James Version. And I'm sure you have heard this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So that is the common translation. Or they always quote this verse. And also, this is one of the most misinterpreted verse in the Bible because of this version, the King James Version, because it simply says there, where there is no vision, the people perish. So especially in the Philippines, I often hear preachers quote this and even preacher preach this verse, but they only preach the first half of the verse. And for them, the word vision here, it pertains to leadership. It pertains to goals, direction. And there's nothing wrong, actually, in having goals, having direction, because we too, as a church, we have a vision. Our vision is transformed lives and communities through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a vision. But that is not what the word vision here means. This has nothing to do with leadership. In order for us to understand the word vision here, we need to read the whole verse, not just the half of the verse where it says here, where there is no vision, the people perish. What is the other half? Even in the King James, it says here, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he, look at the second half, so that we can understand what the author is talking about. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Okay? This is what we call Hebrew parallelism, so that we can understand things. Okay, so in order for you to understand, let me put it in a table, and let's use the ESV here. Okay, so the word vision, it is in parallel with the word law. Okay, remember, it's just one verse. So wag po natin puputulin yung verse. Iisa na nga lang eh, pinutol pa. Di ba? It's just one verse. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he. Look at the contrast. But blessed is he who keeps the law. So in order for us to understand what the vision is, read the second half of the verse. So the word vision, it is in parallel with the word law or the Torah. It pertains to the first five books of the Old Testament. In other words, it pertains to the word of God in our context today. Now, the word prophetic vision, actually this is just one word in Hebrew, that is the Hebrew word hazon, and the Hebrew word for law is the Torah. Okay, so hazon and Torah, they are in parallel to each other. They are equal to each other. Now, what is the word vision? What does it mean? One Bible encyclopedia put it this way. Okay? The Hebrew and Aramaic terms in the Old Testament translated vision in most modern versions have one of three primary meanings. First, a vision can refer to a psychological or religious experiences, often of a revelatory nature, and often a explicit basic or prophetic revelatory experience. Second, vision can be used as a rhetorical term for the oral presentation of visions, usually by prophets, to an audience. Even though visions are always private experiences, they are frequently formulated for public presentation. Third, vision can be used as a literary term referring either to visions in written form, and this is what it means here, the written form, the Torah, okay, or to visions that are intended to put in a written form. So in context of our passage, it pertains, of course, to the oral presentations of the Torah or the written Torah. And as it evolves during, remember, there's a United Kingdom in the context of the Old Testament. Then there's the divided kingdom. Here's the prophets. So that's why the ESV translated it prophetic vision through the prophets. God spoke to his people through the prophets. And in our context today, God's speaking to us through the written word of God. That is why in the ESV it's quite, it can be easily understood that the word of God, because it simply says that where there is no prophetic vision, when there is no revelation from the Lord, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no word of God, if we disregard God's word, the people cast off restraint. Now, what does cast off restraint mean? It means to let loose. Okay? And what is its significance for us to better understand this? It says, especially the last portion of that, where there is no vision, you can translate it this way. When there is no vision or where there is no revelation from the Word of God, if you disregard God's Word, people will be undisciplined. Can you try to picture that? An undisciplined life. And if we will just picture undisciplined life or get out of hand life, it is a picture of chaos, a chaotic life. Try to picture that. So if there is no guidance from God's word, especially for us as believers, if we will not be guided by the word of God, our life will be undisciplined, disordered life. No guidance, chaotic life. That's why in the modern translation, the New Living Translation, it says it this way. When people do not accept divine guidance. Now, mas maliwanag na, right? So that's why it's important. Later, we'll give you an application for this. It's good that we use different translations. Okay, in the New Living Translation, it says, when people do not accept divine, that's God's guidance through His Word, then they run wild. You can see the picture. They will just simply run wild. Chaos, a chaotic life. Without the guidance of God's word, our life will run wild. It's like saying a life that does not know what's right from wrong. And if you will notice, this is the current state of our world. Everything is relative right now. Everything is relative. There is no more absolute in this world. They do not know where to anchor even their morality. They do not no longer know where to anchor it. A disordered life is the result if we will disregard God's word. Now, even for us as believers, if we will not read God's word, how can we live a life that brings glory to God? Now, what will be our application? Knowing that we must not disregard God's word. What is our application? We must read God's word because this is the revelation of God. We must read God's word. And let me give you some application from the book, Living by the Book. This is a very good book. If you can buy this book, this will help you on how to read the Bible. So let me give you that. Howard Hendricks, the late Howard Hendricks said, the 10 strategies on how to read God's Word. And I will just divide this first into three, because reading God's Word, remember that when we read the Bible, our purpose is to inform our mind. And from informing our mind, we must instruct our heart, and then to influence godly behavior, our life. Okay? So to inform our minds, to instruct our hearts, and to influence our life towards godly behavior. So first, to inform our minds. So we must read thoughtfully. Okay? And let me quote from Living by the Book. He said, "Thoughtful reading involves study and not boredom. And far from it, when you come to the Bible, you must put your thinking cap on." So when we read the Bible thoughtfully, the picture is that we are like a detective. Alam niyo ba yung detective? Have you watched a detective movie? When they enter in a crime scene, they will not simply give a conclusion. They will observe things first before they come to a conclusion. The same is true when we read the Bible. We must observe first the words that is being used by the author. Observe words, repeated words, unusual words, long words. You must observe all these things. Observe the relationship of words when you are reading the Bible. Church, when we read the Bible, we read it for us to understand it. Hindi lang po yan to-do list. Kasi ang problema sa atin as Christians, parang to-do. Gusto lang natin ma-checkan. Okay, tapos na. Kasi para pag natanong ka, nag-devotion ka na ba? Yes. Basa ka na eh. Nag-check mo na. No. We read the Bible in order for us to understand it. Hindi yung simply read it. So read thoughtfully. Second, read repeatedly. It is not just enough for us to just read a passage one time. Because you will discover if you read a passage, then you read it again, you will discover that somehow you miss some words in it. Just like now, to give you an example, I'm reading the book of Acts, and there's some words that I miss when I read those way, way back. I can't really count how many times I already read the book of Acts, but still, every time I read it, oh, I miss this word. Na yung pala importante yung word na yun. Kasi ganun tayo minsan magbasa, di ba? Napansin nyo ba yun? First reading, tapos basahin mo ulit, you will discover, oh, parang hindi ko ito nakita dati ah. Pero ang tagal na naman andun nun, di ba? Nakasulat na yung matagal na. So read repeatedly so you can understand what you are reading. Remember, we're not in on a sprint. Kasi tama-tama Asian Games ngayon, di ba? We're not on a sprint, but we are on a marathon. Hindi naman tayo nag-sprint, unahan tayo eh. Okay? It's good that we... Sabi nga, kailangan ang Bible, diba? 66 books, we read it in 1 year. Oh, that's good. Okay naman yun eh. But just be sure that you understand what you're reading. Because what is important is that you understand what you are reading. So, for example, maybe later on, you read the book of Philemon. Philemon is in the New Testament, and it's just about 25 verses. No chapters. Kasi isa lang po yun. 25 verses. Why not read it 2 or 3 times? So you can understand the story of what it's really like to convey to us, especially about forgiveness. So read the book of Philemon as an application. Try to understand it. Read repeatedly. And try to use different versions. Did you know that BibleGateway.com? Okay, again, the link is BibleGateway.com. It has so many versions. At least, I think, not only English, it also has Tagalog, Spanish. I think even in our language, in Cebuano, it has translation. So use that. So in order for you to understand the Word of God. Next is read selectively. What do I mean by selectively? It means particularly. Okay? Hindi yung nagpipili ka lang. Kasi sa atin, ang word the select, parang hinahanap mo lang yung gusto mo. No. Okay, what do I mean by read selectively? Read particularly, because it says in the book, Living by the Book, selective Bible reading involves using the right bait when you trawl the scriptures. Meaning, you need to ask the passage. Who are the people in the text? What is happening in the text? Where is the narrative taking place? When did the events take place? And then the infinity of why. Keep on asking why. You try to ask the Bible. Of course, some of those things you can find there, especially who are the people involved. You can see it in the narrative. You can list it down. But there are things that you need research, especially the background. When you're asking, when did this took place? What is the background of this passage? You need to research. So when you read particularly, you need to research. Remember, if we disregard God's word, we will have a disordered life. So we must not disregard God's word, but rather we must read it thoughtfully, read it repeatedly, read it selectively. And next, to inform our mind, is to read it purposefully. Purposeful reading looks for the aim of the author. We want to understand what is really the author is trying to convey to us. And as you read, be mindful of grammar. Be mindful of grammar. Look at the verbs, the subject, verbs, modifiers. Take note of the preposition, because it's very important, especially in the Greek language. Prepositions are very important. That's why in the ESV, it's a literal translation. They really put the preposition here. What are the prepositions? In, on, upon, through, to. It's a very important words in order for us to understand what we are reading. So take note of that. Be mindful of the genre of what we're reading. What is a genre? Alam niyo ba yung genre? Di ba music, there are different genres in music. Right? Rock, pop, ballad. The scripture also has a genre. It's a narrative, letters. When we talk about narrative, stories. And there are also songs, poems. The book of Psalms, book of Proverbs. It's a poem. It's not a narrative, but these are poems or songs. And there are also letters. And speaking of genre of the Bible, let me just give you the genre of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? And by the way, this is the introduction of for our discipleship program that will run on October. So I want all of us to enroll on our discipleship program. It's a 3-year discipleship program because we want to walk alongside with you, especially in reading God's Word. Okay? Are you ready to know the genre of the Old Testament and the New Testament? This is just easy. Okay? First, look at the Old Testament. Here are the books of the Old Testament. Okay? And I would like to give credit to a survey of the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. Okay? The first 17 books, that is from Genesis up to Esther, this is what we call the historical books. Okay? Meaning stories. Of course, you can still divide it into two, the Pentateuch and then the historical books. But to simplify things, the first 17 books, that is what we call historical books. Or stories. Okay, these are stories. And then, what is the five books? What are the five books? We are having series on that. Okay, the book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. We call it the wisdom literature or the poetic books. Basically, these are songs. So, stories, songs. 17 historical books, 5 songs, or 5 poetic books. And then, the other half is what we call the prophetic books or prophetical books, another 17. All in all, how many books? 39 books. 17 historical, 5 poetical, and then 17 prophetical. It's easy to remember. 17, 17, 5. Okay. 17 stories, 5 songs, and then 17 sermons. Okay, historical, poetical, and then prophetical. 17, 17, 5. Okay. That is the Old Testament. Here's the genre of the New Testament. Okay. The bottom part, that is what we call the historical books of the New Testament. The Gospels, and including that is the book of Acts. Okay. The first 5 books of the New Testament, we call it historical books. Now, on the left side, that is what we call Paul's letters to churches. Okay? Pag magbabasa kayo ng Bible, makikita nyo New Testament, Romans, Corinthians, churches po yun. Okay? 9 books all in all. And then on the other side, that is what we call general letters to individuals. So 9, 9, 5. And lastly, the four books, we call it Paul's letters to pastors. That's Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Okay ba? Kuha natin lahat? That is the genre. Letters, yun na yun. Direct to the point. Unlike poems, iba yung genre ng mga songs. When we say, God is our shield, Hindi naman pwedeng literal yun, that God is a shield. It means God protects us. He is our protector. We interpret it that way. Unlike letters, direct to the point. Yung mga letter ni Paul. Okay? So that's how we interpret the Word of God. So this is basically the genre of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Focus. Okay, church, the key word is focus. Every time you read the Word of God, you focus. Focus. Okay. Next is read telescopically. Telescopically means viewing the parts in light of the whole. In other words, read the Bible in its proper context. Read the Bible in its proper context. That is what, this is really my heart. Okay? That all of you, that GCF New Valley, we must really know, get to know how to read the Bible in its proper context. Because if we do not know how to read the Bible in its proper context, when you watch television, when you open your radio, there's a lot of preachers, there are teachers. I'm not saying that all of them are bad preachers, but there are some who really do not understand what they are talking about. Okay? To give you an example of reading it in its context so that you can understand this, if you will simply read Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I think we are all familiar with that, okay, to just give you an example what does read telescopically means, you do not simply read a verse and do not understand what's happening around that verse. Because in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says here, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." Diba sa Tagalog, maganda yan? Yan yung siksik, liglig, at umaapaw. Magbigay ka raw at babalik sa'yo ng siksik, liglig, at umaapaw. Give and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. If we will just read this verse, what will come to our mind? We ought to give money. Tawag niya mula, di ba? Yan ang ibibigay doon natin because babalik din sa atin. But if we will read telescopically what is the verse above this verse and the verse after this verse, we will see, ano ba pinag-uusapan dito? It says there in verse 37, "Judge not and you will not be judged, condemn not and you will not be condemned, forgive and you will be forgiven, give and it will come back to you." Now you will understand, okay, Jesus Christ is talking about giving forgiveness, not judgment, not condemnation. And if you read the whole chapter, or going back to the context, you must give love and forgiveness, not judgment and condemnation. Now you know how to read the Bible in its proper context. Read telescopically. Now, not only to inform our minds, remember, to also to instruct our heart. Therefore, we must read patiently. Read patiently. From the book, Living by the Book, it says, "The fruit of the word takes time to ripen." It takes time. It takes time, church. Let the word of God dwell in our hearts. It takes time. In reading God's word, it takes patience. That's why we must also read it repeatedly. Because it takes patience. Hindi talaga po pwede yung isang basahan lang, pumikit pa yung mata mo, di ba? So you miss some of the verses. Kasi, ay, nakatulog pala ako. Next time, ulitin mo ulit. Let it dwell in your heart, church. Allow the Word of God minister to you. Next is read imaginatively. That's why you need to use different version. There is a lot of version. ESV, NASB, King James, if you like, English words. There are the New Living Translation, New International Version, Tagalog Bible, Cebuano Bible, so that you can really internalize what you are reading. And most importantly, you need to read prayerfully. And in reading prayerfully, especially the book of Psalms, did you know that you can actually pray it? Pray the Bible. Pray the Word of God. Use that as your prayer, as your guide on what to pray for. Use the Word of God. Pray. Read patiently, read imaginatively, and then read prayerfully. So, our mind, our heart, and lastly, we must read to influence our behavior. So, we must read meditatively. This is what I call processing time. When you read the Word of God, you need to process it. Read them meditatively, because this will lead us to think on how we will respond to what we read. If there are things that we must obey, then it gives us time, the process, on what are the things that we must do, we must correct in our lives, so that we can live a life worthy of our calling, so that we can live a life that brings glory to God. We need to process what we are reading or what we read. And next is read acquisitively. Okay? Acquisitively, so that we can understand that word. Did you know doon sa mga nagluluto po dito, alam niyo yung Teflon? Ano ang tawag nila doon sa Teflon pag sinabi ng mga nagbebenta yung Teflon? Yung Teflon na pan. Non-sticky. The opposite. We should not be non-sticky. Okay? When we read, it should stick to us. Okay? So yun yung opposite. Hindi tayo dapat Teflon. Hindi tayo pwedeng Teflon, non-sticky na walang dumikit sa'yo. So when you read the Word of God, there should be something that will retain in your heart. Kasi kapag wala kang iniisip, walang na-retain dyan, definitely walang application. Right? Kapag tapos mo magbasa, what did you learn? Wala kang masabi sa sarili mo. Definitely, wala ring application. But if you read, something really stick in your heart, definitely, once you go out, you will apply the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We must read the Word of God. Give importance to God's Word, church, by reading the Word of God. Again, if we will disregard God's Word, we will run wild. We will live a life that is not pleasing to God. But on the other hand, if we will obey God's word, then we will live an orderly life. Look at what the Word of God says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The word blessed there, it pertains to our being. It's a state of our being. It does not depend on what is happening to us. It's a state of joy in our heart. Because every time that we read God's word, every time we obey God's word, it brings joy. It brings joy in our heart. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, or in our context, by reading God's word. By reading and reading and reading God's word. And look at that word, keeps the law. It's a continuous action. And the word keeps there, it means obey, to observe or to obey. If you want to live an orderly life, then we must obey. We must keep on obeying God's word. It's not just a one-time event in our life that we obey God's word, but we must keep on obeying God's word. In GCF New Valley, did you know that obedience to God's word, that is the key towards maturity? If you want to mature in the faith, then start to obey God's word. Even if you read God's word and you do not obey God's word, then you are not blessed. Because the Bible says, if you read God's word and you obey God's word, then you are blessed. There is joy in reading God's word and obeying God's word. Because we are here, let the word of God influence our behavior. It does not only instruct our minds, it does not only inform our minds, it does not only instruct our hearts, but it influences our behavior towards godliness. So my prayer for all of us, GCF New Valley, is that we will give importance to God's word. How? By reading the word of God and obeying God's word. Give importance to God's word by reading and obeying it. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. I just trust, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will just really continue to speak to the hearts of your people here this morning. Speak to them, Lord God. Let the word of God dwell in them richly. Father, I pray, let there be a realization today, this morning, that we must give importance to your word. Because if we will simply disregard your word, Lord, we will just run wild. We will run wild. And we do not want a chaotic life. What we want is a life that that is pleasing in your sight. So, Father, help us. Always remind us through your Spirit that we must read your word. We must obey your word. We must give importance to your word by reading and obeying it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.